We're talking to John Lloyd and John Mitchinson, and they've written the second book of General Ignorance. Everything you think you know is still wrong. And is there no end to ignorance? I mean, the first book wasn't enough?
Bottomless.
Bottomless. And just how did you research this book?
Well, we have a very simple method. We read anything and everything, and then we only write down the interesting bits, which is a very different way to where we're taught at school. And we also run this television series in Britain, which each series of now 16 programs a series is about a different letter of the alphabet. So we've just finished I, and we're going on to J next year. So that forces us to research things we wouldn't normally be bothered to research. So
we learn something new every day. Not everybody can say that.
And when the eyes have it, it's I is incorrect and I is ignorance, and that's where we are. These are little stories of what people think they know and what the truth is. Like, for instance, who killed Joan of Arc?
Yes. Not the French in the end. She was actually not the English. It was the French who killed her.
And why did they kill her?
Well, because she was a cross-dresser, that was the thing that really in her trial that upset them most.
Now that's not in the history books in junior high school.
No, well, and we think it should be. You see,
and the French have always had these fashion issues. Is that what it is?
I think it's a biblical fashion issue, actually.
I think it was too. Didn't? Yeah, I think so too.
Okay, another one is. Okay, Cleopatra was queen of Egypt and the Nile and all of that, but she wasn't Egyptian, you're saying?
No, she was Greek.
She wasn't. She was Greek. She was a Macedonian Greek. She was of the royal family of Macedon, which Alexander the Great and his father Philip were just two of them. After Alexander died, I think, one of his generals went to run Egypt, and it was that family, the Ptolemies, and they were extraordinary. Not only did they not sort of mix with the other Egyptians, they were all married to it was sort of incestuous relationships. So
they married their brothers, didn't they? The queens married their
brothers and sisters.
They wouldn't have got on well with the French, those guys.
Even if they didn't cross dress. Yes. Okay.
Okay, what happens if you swallow your tongue? I remember everybody being so concerned about that if somebody had an epileptic fit or something.
Well, you can't. It's physically impossible. It's not built that way. It doesn't go backwards.
So you shouldn't be concerned about it? You just...
No, but I remember reading somewhere, in order to stop soldiers in the Vietnam War, in order to stop soldiers choking on their tongue, they used to stick it to their cheek with a safety pin.
Yeah,
that's a pretty horrible
idea. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, ouch!
Crazy.
In MASH.
Ouch.
Okay, now
you guys are in Utah, right?
Yes.
Right.
So, do you know who Philo T. Farnsworth is?
Oh,
yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. So here's the thing. This is what we do, right?
Right.
We were just talking to some guys in Anchorage recently, and they hadn't heard of Philo T. Farnsworth. But he was a Utah boy, right?
Right.
And
born
he's the
in
guy
Utah
who you think invented the television. And
right.
We think it was John Logie Baird, and the Russians think it was a guy called Vladimir Zworykin. So which is true? I don't know.
Well, Farnsworth is easier to pronounce, so that must be the accurate
It's a great name, Philo T. Farnsworth.
Yeah, it is a fantastic name.
Utah gets to, each state gets to have two statues of famous residents of their state in the U.S. Capitol. And we have Philo T. Farnsworth in the U.S. Capitol holding a klystron tube. So,
that's amazing. Do you?
Yes. So,
who's the other one?
Brigham Young.
Wow.
So,
well, no, you see, that's the thing. That's what we do. We go into extreme detail. You've just told us two things we didn't know. So that will go into another book, and we'll send you a little royalty.
Okay. I want my 12 cents for that.
Good. Okay, now if I have three balls, one of them's steel and one of them's glass and one of them's rubber, which kind of ball bounces the highest?
Well, it's a glass ball bounces highest, followed by steel, and rubber is the least bouncy. That's assuming that the glass ball doesn't smash on impact, which it might. And here's the thing. Nobody knows why glass shatters. Isn't that the weirdest thing? They still haven't worked out. There was a conference in 2005, where dozens of scientists from all over the world met. It was called the Third International Workshop on the Flow and Fracture of Advanced Glasses, and they couldn't agree on what happens when glass splits.
Wow, maybe that's a future Nobel Prize winner right there.
Well, I think so. That would be an amazing thing. But why don't we know that? Why do we know? We still don't really know how electricity works. Did you know that? We don't really know how explosions work.
Thank you, because I didn't understand in my physics class how electricity worked, and I'm glad that people still don't know.
Do you know how, you know, that you've got a copper wire which the electrons flow down, okay? How quickly do you think they're going down that wire?
I have no idea. Speed of light? Speed of sound? 10 miles an hour?
They're not that fast.
It's about as fast as honey flows. It's as fast as honey flows. Yeah,
because they're all in line and they're bumping into each other. They don't move very fast.
So you push one electron at the power plant and one drops off at the other end.
And it's an extraordinary thing. You discover that electrons have been around. These things have been around since the beginning of the universe. That always amazes me.
And it's still like herding sheep when you get them going, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Now, let's turn to some cultural things.
Yeah.
What happens when you cover a beautiful woman from head to toe in gold paint? She suffocates, right?
Like Goldfinger.
We know that.
Well, you know that because of Goldfinger, but if you think about it for a moment, we do not breathe through our skin. It's just not what our skin's for. I mean, if we breathe through our skin, you know, anybody who went scuba diving would drown instantly.
So if we were insects, we would die.
You might die if you're an insect.
Because they
But it's an extraordinary thing. They left a square patch on Shirley Eaton, the actress's body in Goldfinger, because the director was worried that she might suffocate.
Wait, I want to hear about these scuba diving insects. Do you have those in your tour?
We're a desert. We don't have that many insects or opportunities.
You don't have a lot of
seagoing
insects.
But insects do breathe through their exoskeleton, right?
Yeah, insects, but not mammals. There's only one mammal known to do that, which is a tiny little mouse in Australia called a dunart.
Yeah,
okay.
And they have their little babies use their skins too.
So if it were gold cricket,
that would be a hell of a movie.
That doesn't have quite the same box office appeal. No. Yeah.
Okay.
No. Okay. Well, now, in America, we get incensed when someone in a foreign land burns our flag. We just don't like that at all. So what country burns the most American flags? Is it somewhere in the Middle East?
You silly people. It's Boy Scouts and American veterans. You burn more flags than any other country in the world, thousands of them every year.
Because you have very strict the flag code, right? You have very strict rules. Most countries... You know, in the UK, you seem to be able to put the Union Jack on almost anything, but you're much more particular about how your flag is.
That's because we don't have
them. They get burnt as a sort of once they become too threadbare or damaged, and you have to. It's Flag Day that you ritually burn them.
Because that's the proper way to dispose of them.
So it's the Boy Scouts are the American flag burners, but they do
it
right.
The technical term is you retire the flag.
Retire them. And as a father of Boy Scouts, I've been to many ceremonies where flags are quite reverentially
retired.
Retired, yes.
Okay, now just one last question. Did Mussolini make the trains run on time in Italy?
No, he didn't. He didn't. The only train that ran on time in Italy was the one he used to get to go and see the king. But if anything, they ran slightly more slowly under Mussolini.
Well, actually, they had a pretty efficient rail network before Mussolini. This is the thing. And, you know, it was one of those things that people would visit and say, actually, the trains are pretty good in Italy. And somehow that became fused in people's minds with Mussolini. But it was just, they just had a very enlightened the guy who ran the trains through the sort of the early 20s was an enlightened manager.
Well, Larry, you mentioned your boys being Boy Scouts. Did you know that 11 out of the 12 men who walked on the moon were Boy Scouts as kids?
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Oh, so who was the slacker?
They don't reveal that. They won't tell us.
No.
They have one black sheep who walked on the moon without being a scout. Well, this is fun material. The second book of General Ignorance. The title itself is funny. And the stuff inside is both funny and ironic and just quite an enjoyable read.
Enlightening. So we thank you, John Lloyd and John Mitchinson, for your book, and we hope you write many more, as there doesn't seem to be any end to ignorance.
Thanks, Pam. Thanks, Larry.
Thank you.